Hello everyone, welcome. This is the Skulls Cast.
This is
my name is Kaz. And this is episode 20-ish.
23?
No, hold on.
Yeah,
it should be
23.
Because we... I'm tempted to look it up. Because I had the... I'm going to look it up. This is important. So while I'm looking it up, Manibot is going to continue doing what we have been doing, which is reviewing Avacyn Restored.
Wait. Fancy new magic cards.
So why don't you start us off with the blue cards.
Blue.
Mmm.
Yes.
Delicious blue.
Let's start off with a pretty delicious common. Alchemist's Apprentice. 1 and a blue for a 1/1 human wizard. Sacrifice Alchemist's Apprentice. Draw a card. So, you know, it's a chump blocker that replaces the card that you use to play it, so it's a pretty decent way to just, you know, get to the late game, which a lot of the blue cards really want to do, although some of them are a bit more early game focused. You know, at worst, you're sorcery speed cycling for 1 and a blue. You know, really this does what you want it to do, which is just stand in the way and...
Right, and it makes use of the miracle mechanic by providing you an easy way to draw cards on your opponent's turn, which is, like, twice the number of opportunities for miracles than you would otherwise have.
So even without miracles,
so
it's probably
that's pretty good.
Reasonable to include.
Yeah. Oh, he's quite good. I mean, look at him compared to, say, Oculus.
Yeah.
And, I mean, I ran Oculus, and I was happy about it. Like, yeah... Yeah, I'm going to run a guy when he dies, I draw a card. Sure. And most of the time, Alchemist's Apprentice is going to be better.
You get to pick.
Aha.
All right. Next
gladly
up,
run Alchemist's Apprentice.
Amass the Components. 3 and a blue for a sorcery. Draw 3 cards, then put a card from your hand on the bottom of your library.
So, yeah. Sift.
Seems all right.
Only without the delicious part of Sift where you get to, like, use the card in your graveyard or whatever. Yeah, I don't imagine that... I mean, really, what are we doing in Avacyn Restored with the graveyard? There's that one white card that's, like, resurrect, and if it's an angel, it gets huge.
There is definitely a lot less focus on the yard in this set.
Yeah.
So, going on the bottom rather than the yard... is effectively
that's
the
probably
same.
Probably not going to make that much of a difference. Yeah. I mean, I want to know how they justify the difference from Sift. Like, it seems like novelty for novelty's sake. On the bottom of the library. Bleh. I mean, what, are we going to combo this with, like, Cellar Door?
I guess.
Cellar Door combo. Moving
Next up
on.
Next is Arcane Melee. 4 and a blue for an enchantment. I love it already. Instant and sorcery spells cost 2 less to cast.
I don't like it already.
But it's a 5-mana do-nothing enchantment.
That also helps your opponent murder you. I mean, really?
Yeah.
Okay, for one... Decks that would want this don't want it, because if you cast a lot of instants and sorceries, you want to have a lot of instants and sorceries in your deck. You don't want a big, doofy enchantment. And for another thing, the real saucy part of cards like this is getting, like, lots and lots of mana out of them, which you can't really do because it doesn't reduce colored costs, and a lot of the best instants and sorceries anyway cost about, you know... They have more colored costs in them, and I just what can we possibly ever do with this?
Something involving All Is Dust.
So that All Is Dust will kill your own Arcane Melee, so that you.
Next up, Captain of the Mists, 2 and a blue for a 2/3 human wizard. Whenever another human enters the battlefield under your control, untap Captain of the Mists. 1 and a blue tap, you may tap or untap target permanent.
So he quit his job as a midnight guard and took up wizardry. That's the 2-mana 2/3 enter the battlefield untapping thing. So he's no longer on the lookout for anything, but rather only humans. And then tap or untap. I mean, the ability is rather good.
That's a pretty real ability on a Feo-costed body for the price.
It's a strong ability. Yeah. And then, you know, on occasion we get to just overwhelm somebody by saying, oh, pre-combat, cast my human, tap two of your things, smash in with the rest of my team, or possibly, you know, also attack with Captain of the Mists, because he would have untapped himself at that point. Now, this guy's going to be quite good. I don't know about, like, I mean, he's going to get nowhere near constructed, because he basically doesn't do anything.
He's not a big explodey bomb, but he does good things at a good price. You know, play him.
Yeah. It's almost surprising that he's rare. Yeah. I mean, quite good.
The power level seems a little high.
I'll be happy to be. I'll be very happy to see. Well, that's the thing. I don't like rarity as justification for power level. It should be justification for complexity, not power. They're really powerful commons. They, like, you know, this kills that. Raw.
Captain of the Mists, next up.
He's good.
He's real. Crippling Chill, 2 and a blue, instant. Tap target creature. It doesn't untap during its controller's next untap step. Draw a card.
Now, ordinarily, this would just be kind of silly-looking fake removal. But in this set, it'll be okay, both because there are a lot of decks that have, like, a powerful single dude. Being able to turn that off for one or possibly two turns is pretty great. And also because there's still undying creatures in this set. And having a way to deal with undying without, you know, killing it is pretty great. Crippling Chill is going to be quite good, and it's by no means fake removal, but rather, you know, real enough to be the regular kind.
Well, because it cantrips, it's a lot more of it's a real stall card because it doesn't put you behind on cards while still letting you just extend the game length. So, yeah, it's pretty playable. Next up, Deadeye Navigator, 4 and double blue for a 5/5 spirit with Soul Bond. As long as Deadeye Navigator is paired with another creature, each of those creatures has 1 and a blue. Exile this creature, then return it to the battlefield under your control.
Alright, because of how Soulbond works, this guy is way trickier than he looks, and you will never be able to, like, do things to an opponent's board when they have, like, this and a bunch of other creatures. Because what'll happen is, you know, he exiles Deadeye Navigator and then re-enters the battlefield, pairs with someone else, they now have the ability and can leave
out
and come back, and then
this card also combos stupidly well with an already good card that we'll come to later in blue.
Well, if you say so. But as it is, he's sort of a dragon. This is 6-mana 5/5. He himself is going to be hard to deal with and probably make the entire rest of the board hard to deal with. So, wait until they have no mana left and then deal with this jerk.
He has a boat. Yeah.
He's the ferryman. If you give him Dracula's heart, he will take you to a good place.
Next up, Devastation Tide. 3 and double blue for a sorcery. Return all non-land permanents to their owner's hands. Miracle for 1 and a blue.
This is another one of those miracles that's, like, do you even want to cast it that early if you, like, reveal it and it's like, oh, well, not really. I mean, it's suddenly really rude if you get it out at, like, instant speed thanks to drawing it off turn.
Yeah, it was, like, getting it off, like,
for that,
during your opponent's turn, you know, like, oh, you're entering your beginning of combat step? Let me draw a card. Oh, look.
Shaco. Yeah, I mean, yes, it's one of those, like, far-fetched moments, you know it's on top or whatever, but It's still a possibility. It's still one of those like super high variance things, which is my problem with all miracles. And the, you know, the regular cost and effect is pretty safe. You know, like, it's, that's a good instant, cost for a good effect.
Upheaval cost more and hit everything and was also stupid. So, this is, you know, a fair cost for a large game-changing effect. Get in there, play a 5-mana sorceries, Blue Mage. Do it. Don't play Arcane Melee, though. It's not worth it just to make this cost two less.
No.
Next up. Dreadwaters, 3 and a blue for a sorcery. Target player puts the top X cards of his or her library into his or her graveyard, where X is the number of lands you control.
Wait, they still kept mill in the set? Let's see. So at 4, it mills 4. Late game, it can mill much more than that. Lands. I guess it could possibly be a draft deck.
It is a common.
Just to, like, stall a bunch and keep casting Dreadwaters. If only there were a way to, like, other mill cards or a way to get back our Dreadwaters.
It's a mill card.
I don't see it ever getting there. I mean, if it were, like, if it either cost 2 less or did twice as much as it does, I would say it's, like, powerful and possibly, like, go for it, but... I'll hold off on that. Let's see what other mill cards
are. But I don't think it's enough to get you there.
No, I don't think Dreadwaters is going to do anything.
Next up is the Elgod Shieldmate. 3 and a blue for a 2/3 human soldier with Soul Bond. As long as Elgod Shieldmate is paired with another creature, both creatures have Hexproof.
So this is what kind of reveals the problem with Soul Bond as a mechanic. This is a very easy to understand card, right? Like, okay, 4 mana 2/3, it and the other guy have hexproof and, you know, whatever. But it needs, 8 lines of text, taking up its entire text box, going into their smallest font size that they print on commons, and getting rid of any space for flavor text just to say that.
Soul Bond
this
has
is
a
lot
problem. Of reminder text.
Yeah. Oh, and it sort of forces the card to have other text. Nothing can just say Soul Bond on it. That wouldn't mean anything. This is, what junk. As for the power of the creature itself, probably also junk.
I've been reading a few stories about some sealed and draft trip reports. And people are saying Soul Bond is better than they thought it would be. So, I don't know. Hexproof is fun and nice, but...
The Hexproof thing solves the problem of Soul Bond, which is you kill one of their guys and they both lose the bonus. So it'll make, like, both of them harder to kill. But even still, I mean, you're... One of the things that you're protecting is a 4-mana 2/3. Like, who cares? Beat them with a bigger creature. Fly over their heads. Eh. Like with the next card.
Next card is Favorable Winds. 1 and a blue for an enchantment. Creatures you control with flying get +1/+1. Shit!
Holy crap!
Ugh.
Okay, look. like, we're used to our anthem effects costing, like, 3, like, Glorious Anthem or whatever. this is Glorious Anthem in blue for flying creatures only. I mean, yeah, and you could pretty easily play nothing but flying creatures. This is the sleeper of the set. This is going
to
be a really,
I
really
expect
good
to
card.
Get blown
if for nothing
up
else
like
than
this.
The strength of Lingering Souls... If for nothing else than the strength of Lingering Souls alone. And that's in a grander capacity. In this set, it's probably still good enough. There are so many creatures with flying. White gets more than usual. Blue has ghosts. There's a dragon still, so if you just have a dragon or whatever.
It's like,
so many things
it's
with flying.
Cheap. It
and
makes
then,
your good creatures
this.
Better.
It's so stupid. Yeah. God, this is stupidly good.
It's cheap.
very cheap.
Like, we'll get to another code. Yeah, there are a lot of codes in blue that work well with other codes in blue, and so I hope that as we go, it'll become more obvious sort of just how nasty blue can be in Avacyn Restored. But next up is the Fedogeist, who's 2 and a blue for a 3-4 spirit with flying. At the beginning of your upkeep, sacrifice Fedogeist unless you pay 1 for each other creature you control.
Yeah, so the payoff for his, like, cost reduction mechanic of being, like, you know, 3 mana, 3-4 flying is a later cost that you have to pay to keep him around. Kind of playing into the sub-theme that black and blue seem to have where you want, like, one big thing around. I don't know how much he's going to be worth it, though. I mean, he is rather a big thing.
Angry flying man on turn 3. And it's like, maybe you're okay if he's your only creature? At least for a while.
Yeah, maybe. I mean, I don't know. There are a lot of, like, 2-mana 2-1s. I mean, you swing in with him for 3, they crack back for 4 pretty easily if he's your only man. And, you know, if you plop him down to block, they can just overwhelm you with more creatures on the board. I don't know. I don't think he's bad, necessarily. I think he just requires a lot of work.
Yeah, he's... The word is awkward. He is awkward.
Kind of a bum deal. Yeah.
But he's very strong.
At least there are hats. Man has a hat. Like, the people, like, chaining it down. Has hats.
Next up, Fleeting Distraction. Blue, instant target creature gets -1/-0 until end of turn. Draw a card. So, reprint from... Somewhere in Zendikar block.
Fleeting Distraction. I honestly don't remember what the reprint was. Where this came from. Well, it probably doesn't matter. I don't think this is going to be all that. It's a little cantrip.
A little cantrip.
Big deal.
Not that great. You know, maybe an okay 20.
Yeah. I mean, I wouldn't mind having one. So who's not?
Next up is the Galvanic Alchemist. 2 and a blue for a 1/4 human wizard with soul bond. As long as Galvanic Alchemist is paired with another creature, each of those creatures has 2 and a blue, untap this creature.
Okay. So he starts out as Horned Turtle. That's okay for a wizard. Pretty big butt. And then... We get to untap, I guess. I mean, are there any things that, like, tap dudes
things?
There was that
guy from before. Who tapped dudes down, okay, who untapped them.
Right, but he also cost mana, and he had his own built-in mechanic for untapping himself. So then that becomes, like, 5 to tap something down. Come on. No. I mean, like, there's got to be a creature somewhere around who's like, I tap, and then, big things happen. Cool things. And, you know, if that ever... kind of a derfy common.
Horned Turtle.
But hey, good blocker, so...
Yeah.
Run Horned Turtle.
Do worse than the 1/4 for 2 in a blue.
Yeah, you could do... You could.
Next up is the... Is Geist's match. 2 and 2 blue for an instant counter-target creature spell. Put a 1/1 blue spirit creature token with flying onto the battlefield. I'm reminded of a similar spell that gave you a 2/2 illusion instead, but whose name I cannot recall.
I'm reminded of a similar spell that let you draw a card
I'd
instead.
Usually rather
when did
draw
we see that?
Than get a 1/1 flyer. Unless I've already got, you know, two favorable wins in play.
Yeah. I mean, there is something to be said for a spell that is, like, a counter spell and a creature. That's not bad. And it's a common, you know, whatever. I mean, you can treat this as a fakey removal spell that isn't all that bad. We get a lot of those.
I mean,
removed,
I was okay
apparently.
Running Bone to Ash. I think I will
fake removal.
Usually be also okay running one of these. Probably not more unless I get
Next
into
up.
Weird situations.
Gotta
Next
go through
up
them.
Is the Ghost Form. 1 and a blue for a sorcery. Up to two target creatures are unblockable this turn.
Alright, I mean, it's no, what was that card? You know, the one well, the that last has
the,
that
the
has
frogman
that
jumping
flashback.
Down
the hill. Yeah, the little frogman thing.
That was basically like, a better version.
That card that was like, leap into the sewer or something. You know, whatever that was called. Yeah, that's better than this. This is kind of miserable. Two target creatures on volume. I mean, I get... It's sort of like a jump for the only guys on your team that don't have flying, but then they don't get the benefit of the other enchantment, or... Blah. There's a lot of 23s.
Yeah. Well, that's okay. We're getting to the fives pretty soon. Next up is Ghostly
Next
Flicker.
Up.
Two and a blue, instant. Exile two target artifacts, creatures, and or lands you control, then return those codes to the battlefield under your control. So, the double flicker.
The you control thing really kills this, I think. Because it would be sweet as heck to be like, exile two of anything! Pow-pow!
Yeah, just...
You know, your creatures are not attacking me.
It would be nice if
Zorch.
It could cut in more different directions. That said, you can you can do something similar enough by assigning blockers and then flickering them.
Yeah. It's gonna be rude as hell. This is a pretty rude card. Capable, like, way, way more capable than it looks like. Like, with the Soul Bond mechanic alone, would this be kind of crazy? And it can untap a land, sort of...
Yeah. Next up, the Ghostly Touch. One in a blue for an aura that enchants a creature. Enchanted creature has, whenever this creature attacks, you may tap or untap target permanent.
Uh-huh. So it... Uh-huh. It, like, taps down. I'm trying to justify putting this on a creature.
It's...
Man.
That's weird. I mean, you can give him vigilance, you can untap a land, you can untap a different attacker to give a different attacker vigilance.
Yeah.
Sort of this weird, like, as long as this guy attacks... Pick a guy to have vigilance.
Yeah, where's blue getting this aggressive angle?
Because of ghosts.
It's so bizarre.
Moving on to the Griff Vanguard. Four and a blue for a 3/2 human knight with flying. When Griff Vanguard enters the battlefield, draw a card.
So yeah, Griff's returned, and that was the artwork of that good card above.
Yeah.
Favorable winds. And a griff is apparently a flying
horse goose.
Swan thing.
Horse goose.
Horse goose laid
Hoose
a pig
cow.
Egg.
Yeah.
The hoose cow.
So we got a man riding on a hoose cow.
And this human flight. Yeah.
I mean.
Yeah, that's pretty real.
Pan one more for your moon duck and get
every version of. Yeah, every version of Snapping Drake, Moon Heron. Jagwasp swarm. What was the white one called? Some kind of griffin, assault griffin, I guess. Like all those guys were fine, and this guy is really good because he's basically that, only with like one more mana and you draw a card. So hey,
play this guy. Play the heck out of him.
Not bad. Yeah.
Next up, the Havengul Scab. Five and a blue for a 4/5 zombie horror. Whenever Havengul Scab attacks, return another creature you control to its owner's hand. Terrible.
Miserable.
Like,
what the hell? There's not all that much stuff that's so like good and so cheap that you want to be playing it every turn.
It's, you know,
what creature have we seen so far that even like begins to qualify for that? What, the 5-mana
thing?
Yeah,
do you really
want to
be, like, blowing your 5-mana every turn so you can swing in with your 4/5 and draw a card? That's
no.
Terrible.
Also, I mean, part of the point of being the, like, powerful single guy was, like, cheapness. You play a cheap thing, and he's more powerful than usual because he benefits from being alone. Well, this guy benefits from being alone too, but he's a 6 mana 4/5.
Rubbish.
What the hell?
Like, you can build a deck where he's an upside, but don't.
Yeah.
Next up, Infinite Reflection. 5 and a blue for an aura that enchants a creature. When Infinite Reflection enters the battlefield attached to a creature, each other non-token creature you control becomes a copy of that creature. Non-token creatures you control enter the battlefield as a copy of enchanted creature.
Wait, why non-token? Why would they... Like, that was one of the cool parts of, like, Mirror Weave or whatever else.
Well, yeah, so they took the cool part out. Yeah!
God! Just remove the word non-token. Why does that matter? Who cares?
Because tokens are
like what?
Too
just because
good.
Like some creatures enter the battlefield and then like become and then come with tokens?
Yeah, that would actually lead to an infinite game state.
But what would it?
Yeah, like you play a guy who says like I come into play with a token, then you put this on him, then you cast any other creature.
Yeah. So I guess that's why the word non-token is there. Because of Siege Gang Commander. And, like, all versions of Siege Gang Commander ever.
There are a bunch of them.
And yet, what's that golem? The three golem golem?
Three golem.
That guy. Yeah, yeah, from Scar... Not Scar the Mirror. Yeah, Scar the Mirror.
Oh, Pfeg...
He's just a 5-mana 3/3 and...
Golem...
Yeah, Golem Progenitor. Progenitor.
The Pea Golem.
Yeah.
Pea Golem.
Pea Golem. So he entered with things and then could copy things.
Yeah, he was stupid. Like, let's have something that's not quite as stupid as that. Make it cost 6. Just like a real Essence of the Wild.
Essence of the Wild, huh?
Important to note, you can tag one of your opponent's creatures with it if their creatures are totally better than yours.
Yeah, yeah. And you just have more?
You're like, oh,
I
nice
guess.
Archangel,
but
I have
then at,
four
like,
of
six
them.
Mana... I mean, it... at 6 mana, I don't know, maybe...
Yeah,
that
you tag
happens.
Their big impossible bomb with it, and they wish it was dead. Next up, Into the Void! 3 and a blue sorcery. Return up to 2 target creatures to their owner's hands. Also, you're allowed to say, I cast them into the void!
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, that's pretty cool. And this spell used to be called Undo, and it cost less. Undo was freaking
Undo
amazing.
Was pretty good.
This is going to be. This is going to be rather good. This qualifies
you
as
know,
real.
Any two target creatures.
It's like,
generally
oh,
two you don't
yeah,
control,
good.
But maybe sometimes one you do.
Yeah, try recasting your 3-drop and your 4-drop, asshole.
Yeah, back in time.
Yeesh.
Yeah, getting to it once on turn 4 seems like a good time.
This is going to be stupid good in every like draft.
Run
that's
multiples
ever.
Of these if you can. Just
yeah, holy crap.
Lock them out of playing the game of Creature the Gathering. Next up, one Latch Seeker, 1 and double blue for a 3/1 spirit. Latch Seeker is unblockable.
Oh, but this spirit doesn't have flying.
The spirit is likely heroic.
Yeah. I mean, you gotta keep a lookout for things that deal 1 damage or get rid of 1 toughness because of this guy. Also, this would justify the hexproof lady above and be like, oh, well, now I just have this
invisible
thing. And it's probably, it's probably pretty good on its own, too. Because for, like, 1 more than Invisible Stalker, you get, like, two more power. And he's one of the obviously good things.
How CMC unblockable. Go, go, go. Get in.
Yeah, blue aggression. What the hell?
Next up, Lone Revenant. 3 and double blue for a 4/4 spirit with hexproof. Whenever Lone Revenant deals combat damage to a player, if you control no other creatures, look at the top 4 cards of your library. Put one of them into your hand and the rest on the bottom of your library in any order.
That's miserable. Well,
okay, what if we ignore that second bit, and it says 3 double blue, 4/4 hexproof?
That's still kind of meh.
Well, which is why I think miserable is harsh. And if we take meh and add to it, we don't get to miserable. But I do feel like his second ability is going to be frequently irrelevant. Then again, if he is your last guy, your opponent's going to have, they'll just block him with their 5-drop.
Yeah. Yeah, or ignore him and be like, oh, yeah, you get the impulse or whatever, I'm killing you. Because I have an army of dudes and you have only one. Is your impulse really going to get you out of this?
No. No. Next up, Lunar Mystic. 2 and double blue for a 2/2 human wizard. Whenever you cast an instant spell, you may pay 1. If you do, draw a card.
Alright, so there's a difference between this guy and Mentor of the Meek. There is. They're both humans, and soldier and wizard, whatever. For one thing, Mentor of the Meek benefited from himself. You could have another mentor and then get a benefit out of it. For another thing, Mentor of the Meek was castable, and this guy isn't. He is more expensive. And for another thing, Lunar Mystic is just
garbage.
How many
instants are in your deck? If you answered a big number, your deck is probably bad.
Yeah. And no, he's not making his way into Constructed Magic either. Because in Constructed, 4 mana creatures are they're 4 power and kill something and they enter the battlefield and gain you a bunch of life.
From the Last Troll.
Yeah. Or Huntmaster of the Fells.
Your 4 mana dude needs
or Phyrexian Obliterator.
Is what we're getting at. Like.
Yeah.
Drawing cards is great, and Mentor of the Meek, proves this, but that's because you were drawing cards when you were playing creatures that kill your opponent.
I mean, just because he's a wizard, he might be an interesting singleton in EDH, what's her name? Azami, Lady of Scrolls. Wait. Is that Azami? Anyway, Lady of Scrolls. Yeah. Because he can, enter the battlefield and tap and draw a card, and then. But really, I think you'd rather have, a 1-mana 1/1 wizard in that deck, so.
Screw this guy.
Yeah,
next up,
this guy.
Mass Appeal. 2 and a blue sorcery. Draw a card for each human you control.
Yeah. Possibly quite good.
I mean, at 2.
Actually,
you're doing okay.
We get to compare this to Divination. So if you have 3 or more humans, this thing becomes ridiculous. So, I mean, clearly we don't want more. Maybe we do want more than one of these
two,
in the deck. Maybe,
but
like,
probably
the deck
not
have,
3.
Like, nothing but. Yeah, nothing but humans and then, a bunch of this.
You get enough good humans, it's got a gentle casting cost. Card draw. Draw cards. Next up. Oh.
Honestly, one more thing. It might even break into standard, because there is a humans deck. And no.
Does it want to make its mana base crazier?
Dude, Constructed Magic has the greediest mana bases I've ever seen.
Greed!
But, The problem with the humans deck is that they can, vomit out their board and be like, but what do I do now? Well, okay, now I'll draw 7 because I have, token-making things. And it's like, 3 mana draw 7? That's crazy. I guess it all hinges on whether or not they can make the blue. Which I don't know.
Next up, Mist Raven. 2 and double blue, 2/2 bird with flying. When Mist Raven enters the battlefield, return target creature to its owner's hand. Yes!
Yeah, Flying Monowar. Yes! Yes! Run as many of these as possible. Holy. Jam your deck full of them. This is what a 4-drop can do.
I don't think there's, like, a number of Mist Ravens where I will say, you know, I have X Mist Ravens, but I will only run X minus one of them.
Yeah. It's like, well, I did open 20 Mist Ravens. Huh. Should I run them
16
all?
Island, 24 Mist Raven sounds like a deck.
It sounds like an ass-kicking of a deck.
Who solves that?
Oh my god.
No one!
You have been missed.
No, this is a powerful, powerful blue card at common. That flies.
God.
You know, fill your deck full.
Okay, I mean, you know, we can compare this to Aether Adept, like, too, who's got like 3 for a 2.
You're paying an extra
whatever,
1 for the flying, which is great.
You are, which is very good, because a lot of the problem with Aether Adept was like, okay, you bounce their dude and set them back a turn or whatever, but then you have nothing to do with this 2/2. And then, but with Mist Raven, it's like, oh, you know, I Mono War bounce your guy, and then also start attacking overhead. You know, you get rid of their one flyer, maybe, and then poof, or you murder a token or whatever. Yeah. But he can attack. Blue aggression! Hell, this might even be, like, the top of your curve, and that would be okay.
Well, I'm imagining a deck like that, and I like it.
Yeah.
Next up is the Mist Hollow Griffin. 2/2 blue for a 3/3 Griffin with flying. You may cast Mist Hollow Griffin from exile.
Yeah, welcome to the world of Graveyard Number 2. Kind of
weird.
Lame and
it, weird. It's definitely weird.
The flavor text is stupid. And it put the, you know, it I have the moon in the background because my art actually belongs to the other set. This is supposed to be, like, the moon has gone down. Because the sun is shining now.
But
the angel
Avacyn
is back.
Is
that's
like,
the point of this
her
set.
Her symbol is the moon. Yeah.
What? Her symbol is that stupid thing that is printed
like,
on every single
like
card in this set. That is not the damn moon. She got moon magic. Where did she get that? Oh, the silver equals moon
she
thing?
She was built
that
with moon magic.
Built with moon magic.
Why would you play this when you can play Mist Raven?
Silly nonsense. Yeah. Mythic rares.
Next up, Nephalia Smuggler. Blue for a 1/1 human rogue. 3 and a blue tap, exile another target creature you control, then return that card to the battlefield under your control.
I was like,
okay, so...
Yes. Surprise. Mist Raven plus drawing a card. This guy's actually going to be kind of bad. I mean, he's a 1-mana 1/1.
He's not in
so
combat.
He's not, like, doing anything forever. And then, like, way, way later on, you get to, like, break the game or whatever with, like, repeating your Enters the Battlefield effects. Like, way after this is really relevant. I mean, you don't want a deck that both gets to the late game and has, like, a ton of land and hinges on 1-mana 1/1s, you know? Like, if he were a Gray Ogre, I would like him more. He would, like, curve into himself. He would have relevant stats rather than irrelevant stats.
Yeah, I'd like him more as a Gray Ogre, too.
That'd be good. The only thing I like about this card, I mean, aside from the sweet hat, that's one thing to like. And the other thing to like is that his name is Smuggler, and he has that smug expression.
And he's doing that thing with his hand.
So that, yeah, that is how you smuggle.
He is very, very portly.
Won't you come in?
Bon tapudo.
The other kind of weird thing is that, okay, there are devils and demons and vampires and stuff in the world. We see them every night. They're out and about. You can, like, take out your binoculars and be like, oh, yeah, there's a devil. The devils are, like, raiding your fridge. In a world like this, does smuggling mean anything anymore? But come on, how can we even establish, like, regular commerce, let alone irregular commerce, if, like, devils are raiding the fridge every night? Ugh.
There is always illicit
smuggling
commerce to be done.
Smuggling exists in a world that is more orderly
and
than
it's
this.
It's orderly because our moon lady showed back up.
I don't think it is. The devils are still around and quite powerful.
Next up, Outwit, blue, instant. Counter target spell that targets a player.
A one mana counter spell is never something that you can just completely ignore. I have a feeling that this will be a popular card somewhere. I don't know where, though. I mean, it sort of counters discard effects, because those commonly target a player are relevant and are very cheap. The ones that we want to, like, stop anyway. And then again, I mean, if you're stopping their disruption from happening, you're not stopping their game plan. And, you know, one mana instant to counter a lightning bolt targeting your face doesn't feel very good either. That turns it into, you know, a healing salve, which,
blah.
So I'm kind of waiting for the, like, preponderance of targets a player things that makes this good.
Cruel ultimatum. Like,
I mean, I'm trying to see how this could be better than Spell Pierce, basically.
The answer is usually pretty much not.
No.
Next up.
No.
Peel from Reality. One in a blue, instant. Return target creature you control and target creature you don't control to their owner's hands. Yeah.
Yeah, a reprint from Ravnica, which, you know, we don't mind seeing at all. Like Ravnica, Peel from Reality is pretty rude. You know, either my cheap guy, your expensive guy, or my 187 dude, your whatever. Yeah, Peel from Reality is pretty good.
It is easy to be in a situation where this is a good card to cast.
It's still an instant, right? Yeah,
still an instant.
Okay, no, totally. Yeah. No, we like it. Like, Peel. If only it featured a sweet hat.
No, the guy in the background has a sweet hat. He's a wizard.
Is that a wizard hat? Oh, he just has a generic wizard hat. We haven't
seen
that in a
long time.
Well,
maybe it's like a tricorn at a very, like jaunty angle.
No, I want to believe that it's a wizard hat.
I don't know if they have, classic wizard hats on the Innistrad.
There's one on Fastbond, but that's nowhere near Innistrad.
Next up. Rotcrown Ghoul, 4 and a blue for a 3/3 zombie. When Rotcrown Ghoul dies, target player puts the top 5 cards of his or her library into his or her graveyard.
Ah, another mill effect that makes no sense in this set, and makes every bit of sense in, like, previous sets. Did they just have, like, a leftover card design, and they're let's ship this off to the next set? I'll bet it did. Because there's not, like, I mean, this was waiting to be printed in New Phyrexia, because they had a lot of death triggers in there. And also waiting to be printed in, like, Innistrad and Dark Ascension, because you want to mill yourself, maybe. And also death triggers and being a zombie and all that. Yeah, this doesn't make any sense here. What the hell? Okay, so we curve out, like, Dreadwaters and then Rotcrown Ghoul, and then trade off with something. Millmore.
No, play Mist Dragon.
I think this guy is just bad. Yeah, seriously.
Next up, Scrapskin Drake. 2 and a blue for a 2/3 zombie Drake with flying. Scrapskin Drake can block only creatures with flying.
Here's the lowdown. Cloud Elemental was very good every time he was printed. And here he is again. And he'll be good here too. This is blue aggression, and that's weird. But okay.
Play good flyers, win the game. Bounce all your opponent's creatures with other blue cards. I don't get creatures. I have some creatures. I win. Next up. Second Guess. 1 in a blue, instant. Counter target spell that's the second spell cast this turn.
This is miserable as hell. For one thing, we're forcing players to keep track of something that they very rarely need to keep track of. Yes, I recognize it's not that hard to count to 2. But turns can sometimes take a while. And it's often not clear that, I already cast a spell and then responded here, and it's counting both players and forcing them to remember a lot of stuff. All for a counterspell. Like, when is this going to be the thing that you want? okay, I know for a fact his second spell is going to be the one I'm going to get him. Like,
when is... I'm trying to think back to when I've, you know, played with counter magic. How often did I counter their second spell?
I mean, compare this to something like, I don't know, Remand, Monolique, Rune Snag, cards that worked when you needed them to work. Second spell.
Next up. Ugh. Spectral Prison. One in a blue for an aura that enchants a creature. Enchanted creature doesn't untap during its controller's untap step. When enchanted creature becomes the target of a spell, sacrifice Spectral Prison.
Alright, fake removal. Yep. It's going to be quite real, yeah. Just like Ice Cage. Harder it's to going break. To be quite good in the first game, and then you side it out because they're siding in all of their like crappy auras that serve only to break the Spectral Prison.
Yeah.
So yeah. It has a job, and we know its job, and it does it pretty well.
Next up, Spirit Away. 5 and double blue for an aura that enchants a creature. You control enchanted creature. Enchanted creature gets +2/+2 and has flying.
Alright. You know, mind control and special buff. Flight. I guess that's a thing. You're paying 7 mana for this. This is very, like, battlecruiser magic kind of situation where, you know, they get out their archangel or whatever, and you're like, oh, yoink. Or even something without flying, and then pow, and it flies overhead. I don't see it being terribly good or relevant in sealed or draft just because blue has so many good aggressive options. Why would you want to limit yourself to the one, like, game-breaking option? Let alone the fact that you're kind of banking on your opponent having something worth stealing.
Well, that hasn't stopped us from, like, you know, windmill slamming mind control, but then again, that was 5.
Yeah.
And an uncommon, but...
And it does turn, like, a random Grey Ogre into a random Sengir vampire or whatever, so I guess it's not ever completely bad or dead.
No. It is a lot of mana, though, but, probably feels good to steal a big nasty 7 drop with it, boy howdy. Next up, Stern Mentor. 3 and a blue for a 2/2 human wizard, Soul Bond. As long as it's paired, each has tap, target player puts the top 2 cards of his or her library into his or her graveyard.
Oh, okay, well here's something that has a tap ability. And we could like pair it with the other thing that untaps. And then get a mill thing going.
Well, they both get to, you know, tap for 2 each for free, and then 1 in a blue and tap again. So that's a cute little trick. I don't know if it's cute enough.
I don't know if it's like racking up to
games.
The amount of damage that you're missing. I mean, I'd much rather be casting like Mistraven.
Yeah, there's also 4 mana.
Yeah,
and a 2/2.
Hey, look at that! Also a 2/2.
But so much more. Next up, Stolen Goods. 3 and a blue, sorcery. Target opponent exiles cards from the top of his or her library until he or she exiles a non-land card. Until end of turn, you may cast that card without paying its mana cost.
This is looking pretty decent. I get your next big thing.
Like, even if it's... I guess it's sad when it's like, oh, I hit your, like, Grey Ogre or whatever. You know.
Yeah. And you are kind of banking on them to having decent cards in their deck.
But if your opponent doesn't have decent cards in their deck, aren't you just beating them anyway?
Yeah, I guess.
Cards that are good against good cards are good cards.
Honestly, I think I would just run this in whatever deck that could cast it.
Just to see what you get to steal.
To be like, yeah, because, you know, you play your, like, Cloud Elemental or whatever, and the next turn you steal their next thing. And, you know, sometimes it's going to be a big nasty creature, sometimes it's going to be an irrelevant little spell. But it's sort of interesting, you know. Also, it's flavored after Seft. And
stealing
things is wonderful.
My favorite part of blue. The stealing part. I love being a pirate. Next up, Tamiyo the Moon Sage socks. 3 and 2 blue for the Planeswalker Tamiyo, who starts with 4 loyalty counters. +1 to tap target permanent. It doesn't untap during its controller's next untap step. -2, draw a card for each tapped creature target player controls. -8, you get an emblem with you have no maximum hand size, and whenever a card is put into your graveyard from anywhere, you may return it to your hand.
Right. The ultimate is clearly bonkers, but we're also clearly never actually building up that much. I mean, let's see, 5, 6, 7, 8, then minus, and you... Okay, she's in the graveyard as part of the cost, so she's not going to return to your hand with her own emblem. Let's see. The interesting part of Tamiyo is how you could build a blue-green deck and then, you know, tap your little green creatures for mana to slam her and then -2 targeting yourself for, like, drawing 3 cards or whatever. Which I guess replaces the little mana dorks and everything. And she also sort of protects herself.
Plus
which
one
is
does, you know,
interesting
defend
for a planeswalker.
Well, which is important.
And planeswalkers are always pretty powerful. So worth consideration. By no means is she another Jace.
No, but I mean, like, if I open this pack 1, I'm in blue.
Pairs pretty well with Gideon.
It does, just tap a thing. Like, it does.
You know, the weird part of her, though, is, okay, she comes from the Moonfolk tribe, from Kamigawa, clearly. Now, if you were a Moonfolk and were named the Moon Sage, like, what if that applied to me? I'm a human. Could I call myself the Hume Sage?
No,
the
you
Man
would call yourself
Sage.
You could be an Earth Sage.
What, because I'm from the Earth?
You're from Earth. That's where you live. So many
I
of your
Kaz,
favorite celebrities live
Sage
in
Sage of Earth. I think it's weird, though. I mean, couldn't, like, any given sage of her clan be called that? And if so, isn't that name, like, not special, but rather simple and
it
descriptive?
It is. If you live, like, on Kamigawa...
It says literally her job.
No one else has ever, like, seen any of this crap before. So when she busts into town and she's like, "Hi, I'm the Moon Sage." It's like super fantastic. Like, whoa, who is this lady? She says she's a Moon Sage. I ain't never heard anything like that.
Sage.
Also, what's with her hair? Also, what's with wearing socks with those sandals?
Yeah.
Oh, it's sort of cute art. She's got, you know, a green robe. There are scrolls floating everywhere, and she has a telescope. It's...
Hey guys, remember Kamigawa?
Yeah.
That was sure a place. Here's this person that you've never heard of that's totally been there the whole time.
Studying the moon. She like planes hops and studies moons. That's her deal.
I just love things that float around other things.
But only if those things also float around other things. We need to step out at least once. Next up is the tandem lookout. 2 and a blue for a 2/1 with human scout with soul bond. Soul bonded creatures have the pairs have whenever this creature deals damage to an opponent, draw a card.
He's gonna be rather good.
Pair him with that latch seeker.
Any given flyer.
Ophidians, yeah.
I mean, yeah. Suddenly you have like one guy who's going to like sit back, draw you a card, trade with a dude. And that's pretty good. Or you just get to keep attacking in. And blue aggression. And replace all the cards that you're spending on, like, tapping down their dudes, getting the dudes out of the way.
Yeah.
Tandem Lookout's going to be quite something.
Next up, Temporal Mastery. 5 and 2 blue for a sorcery. Take an extra turn after this one. Exile Temporal Mastery. Miracle for 1 and a blue.
Yeah.
Time walk.
It's got enough of the time walk text on it that it's pre-ordering for an absurd amount. I don't think it's actually going to live up to the hype. I mean, Walk the Eons had more functionality than this and led to the construction of a deck that was pretty good thanks to like supporting cast and everything. This thing is all hype. Features an hourglass on the art. Old burst thing. I'll bet they added that lens flare afterward. They were like, hey, hey, as part of Miracle Cards, we're putting in this stupid graphic effect where the card, like, pin lines looks different. Can you put a, can you put a lens flare right in the middle of the art so it, like, lends to the other art of the card? I mean, you'll do it because we tell you to do it, or else we're going to add it ourselves. So, yeah.
Temporal Mastery. Next up.
Yeah.
Vanishment. For in a blue, instant. Put target non-land permanent on top of its owner's library. Miracle Blue. Now,
this
Tain I can
be
get
fine.
Into. This is back in time.
I mean, yeah. Temporal Spring. Although this is an instant, so it's like Griptide for non-land permanent, for like anything. Miracle Cost is basically always going to be interesting. Mm-hmm. You know, if your opponent doesn't actually have a non-land permanent that you want to like make go away,
you're
then,
probably
you're
winning.
Probably fine
unless
sandbagging
it's like
this.
The only sad time to like rip this is like turn one.
Wait, wasn't there something else that featured a ton of butterflies on the artwork?
Probably.
Already?
I do like the artwork.
Where did I see that again?
Man becoming butterflies.
It's like, good people, when they die, turn into butterflies. We know this. Oh,
yeah,
fleeing distraction
butterflies,
had butterflies on it.
And this guy is pretty distracted. He was like, well, what the hell? Like, 2/3 of my body is butterflies now.
Yeah. So, this is a fine card. Draw this with Tandem Lookout.
Oh, hey-o. No. Lastly, is the Wing Crafter. Blue, 1/1, Human Wizard, Soul Bond. Both creatures have flying.
So he's like the enchantment Flight, only worse somehow. He's like Flying Men, but more terrible.
At the same time, I'd love to pair him with Tandem Lookout. Because then I have two flying Ophidians. And I just roll over my opponent with cards.
Like, yeah, I guess
I
want to
say
okay.
that, like, maybe the secret to Soul Bond is Soul Bonding with other Soul Bond creatures.
I don't think that's necessarily
maybe
the
that's
case.
Sometimes the secret.
I mean, certainly, it's just...
What I'm saying is sometimes a thing is true, and sometimes a different thing is true.
And I think that anything at all that allows you to break up pairs is going to be quite okay. Like, okay, they set up and attack you with their Soul Bond plan, and you
ruin
know, blink
their
guy,
plan.
You bounce your guy and their guy. Which is why Elgod Shieldmate, you know, is... And Deadeye Navigator are, like, interesting Soul Bonders. They sort of, like, protect the team, they protect the pair. But anything else is just begging to be, like, crushed, fought, killed. We'll get to kill spells next time.
What's our conclusion on blue?
I don't really see any interesting rares. So sad about that. And it gets, like, blue aggressive options, which are weird. Like, why does blue get to be so aggressive? It has the sleeper of the set and favorable wins. And it has a lot of incredibly crappy cards crammed in there next to the good ones. So it's very polar. I think, you know, for every Mist Raven, there's also a Rot Crown Ghoul. So blue is schizophrenic.
As it should be.
Well, until next time.
Skulls.
Skulls.